We're now up to Perek Yud Zayin, which is one of, if I'm not mistaken, the biggest prokim in Nefesh HaChayim, in Shodat that we've done. I don't think we could probably get through all of it in the little time that we have, but the truth is that there is a, you know, like a lot of the prokim, there is a good amount of repetition. We don't think of Reb Chaim Volozhiner as a bucky, like when you think of like what made Reb Chaim Volozhiner great. But we've seen he clearly was an enormous bucky, especially in things that a lot of other people didn't know. So he's got a lot of multiple sourcing for the same idea. So if we have to skip around a little bit, we will. And the good news is, there's a lot of Zohar today. I feel like we haven't been doing enough Zohar recently, so we're going to come back into that. Not only Zohar, but some good Zohar. So the broader theme, which I think we've been doing for at least two or three Prakim already, is the incredible benefits and reward for being involved in Torah. And he is continuing that theme, but shifting the focus slightly, as we see in the opening sentence. Bein achar petiraso mizeh ha'olam. So now, all of a sudden, something that we had not seen previously, now the focus is on the fact that there's incredible power and protection of someone who learns Torah to be protected from what otherwise might be punishments in olam haba. So even after a person dies, Amru Chazal in Gemara Chagiga, Tamid HaChachamim ein or shel gehenam sholeit behem. Right, the light, and or maybe that means fire, we shall see other sources, are definitely going to give makor and source to the crispy. We sometimes say they think of it as a Christian image, but there are some Jewish sources that do speak about Gehenna in the fiery sense, so we'll see that much more explicitly even now. But nevertheless, whatever it is, you'll get saved from it if you learn Torah. Which is a really interesting idea, which really has to be explored in much more depth, not today, but, you know, even a Talmud Chacham who, so to speak, goes OTD, but somehow his Torah, right, still never is rejected. Interesting.
What does that mean?
Off the derech?
Oh.
I thought I was trying to be, like, hip. Okay, my bad. What?
Snag versus Neo came up on the Tzad Shabbatos.
I don't know what Snag is.
Snag
it. Oh, I never heard that one. I'm so in it that I didn't know it. Although I'm in between. Anyway, okay. Next. Mishle Rabasa, Bapasak Lahavin, Moshal Umalitza. Right? So, like a lot of Mishle, there's a lot of parables there. But here we have in the Pasuk about understanding parables or expressions. So says the Medrash. Zu Torah Atzma, this is referring to Torah itself. Why is Torah considered a melitza? So it's a play on words. Shimatzeles oskeha midina shel gehenim. Right? That's a very beautiful idea. Right? So even if you otherwise deserve gehenim, but Torah will protect you. Now, just getting back to the OTD reference, it seems obvious, and it's one of the beautiful things, like when you're quote unquote learning, when you're talking out learning, as opposed to just reading it yourself. So this is not like some brilliant chiddush, but I have to say, the point I'm about to make, I don't think I thought of as I was first learning this on my own, which is just that, on the one hand, it sounds like extreme. On the other hand, any one of these mamar, which the Chaim Volozhiner had said, but on the other hand, any one of these mamari chazal that speak about Torah protecting you, memelo are assuming that you need it to be protected. In other words, it's assuming a certain amount of sin, even from someone who learns. And the chiddush is, you shouldn't, again, he's not, no one's whitewashing the sin. But I don't think that's what the Chazal are trying to say at all. But it really is, what it is trying to do is to just show you how powerful the Torah is. And, you know, at least in these cases, which is the default, I'm not saying there could be exceptions, but it doesn't seem like you, so to speak, lose the Torah because you sinned. Right? And it might be that is true in certain cases, and it still would be true that I think some people might have thought that. But it seems clear that these Makoros indicate, right? Again, because if we're talking about the perfect Tzaddik, then you wouldn't need these Makoros because there's nothing to be saved from. So clearly we're talking about somebody who's human. They may have learned a lot of Torah, but they also did some sins. And you should know, the Torah is going to protect you from what punishment you otherwise might deserve. Furthermore, he says, V'sham reish parsha beis, b'ni im tikach amari. So, if you take my words, what is that referring to? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yisrael, Har Sinai. It's referring to Hashem on Har Sinai, telling the Jewish people, Im zachitem lahatzpinu lakabel terasiyu la'asoso. If you bring in, again, lahatzpin usually would mean like to hide, right? Or to internalize, I guess it means here, you accept my Torah and you do it. The lasoso is an important point here, obviously. Ani matzil eschem et mishosh peronos. I protect you from three different potential punishments: melchemes gog magog, mechevlo shal mashiach, the birth pangs of mashiach, and medina shal gehenim. Exactly, you know what those are. We don't necessarily know. Just we don't really know what Gan Eden versus olam haba versus tchias hameisim versus. But they don't sound good, and I'd be very happy to be protected from them. Furthermore, says the Midrash, umitzvosai titzpon itach. Right, my mitzvos will be, so to speak, hidden with you. Im zachitin lahatzpin terasi, if you, so to speak, hide, if you, I think it means you internalize my Torah. and he mashbiatchem mituv hatzafun la'ati lavo. Right? There's all sorts of good. Even Rashi and Bereishis talks about the or that's gonuz, which is, you know, tzafun for olam haba. So all that stuff, you know, if you kind of, so we bring the Torah inside of you, all that other stuff Hashem that he brings inside of him, so to speak, that he's holding, he'll eventually give to you. Next, Hashem b'parsha yud. I'm guessing that's what it is. Right? The greatest way to protect yourself from Gehenim is Torah. Even if you really did something wrong, it can protect you. Again, I think it's obvious, but I'll point out, this doesn't, not only does it not permit the sin, that's obvious, I don't think it means you shouldn't do tshuva either. I think, now that I'm thinking about it, I think I once mentioned in a previous parak where this might have been alluded to, although not as intensively as here, there is a sugya in the parsha of tshuva. There's a sugya about what role does Talmud Torah play in tshuva, right? We're not, you know, and any of these makoros would have to be then brought to bear. But again, I would interpret this, I hope I'm right, but I would interpret this as part of that. I mean, it doesn't mean instead of, but it does mean that it is a potent power that can help you more than if you did the same tshuva, but without the Torah, right? Again, in general, when you say Hashem's weighing, you know, so the fact that I did 100 averos, but maybe, you know, 1 hour of Torah is worth 100 averos, but there's no way to know, but it's got a superpower, it's on steroids, it's going to hit 70 home runs easily in a year, right, with a big head and everything, right? Because on steroids, Talmud Torah is amazingly powerful, but again, it's also perhaps possible that, again, it's somehow has a powerful force even in the tshuva process. Okay. Weiter. Next paragraph. Or at least in the book, next paragraph. We were medrash Tehillim. Pasuk says in Mizmor Yutes. Ubet kufaso. I didn't look up the pasuk because I don't know what the whole context is there. But v'ein nistar me chamato. Right? So it's not hidden from here, chamato, like from the scorching heat. Here we go from some of those makoros. You ready? So Amri Tervayu, Reuchon Rishon Ben Lakish. In gehenom losadovu el hashemesh hazu. So there's going to be some very, very hot sun, you know, burning down, incinerating the Rashaim, as it says in the Pasuk in Malachi. Here, it's a Pasuk in Tanakh. What do you know? They're going to be incinerated. Who's going to be protected from this, hidden from it? How do I know this? It says, Torah Hashem Temima. V'cheinu Omer, ein choshech, ein tzalmoves. Lehisater shem. So somehow there's someone who's like in the darkness or being hidden in the shadows from the sin. It's referring again, says the Medrash, to someone who's osek in Torah, ayin sham. Kavachomer from Elisha, whatever. But again, here you have the Gemara Chagiga, lo meidin nidanye mishum degamir daraisa. A certain person being referred to is not going to be judged about Gehenim because he was learning Torah. Okay, next, Amar Birushalmi in the Kwelas Rabbah. Tov acharis davar. Right? There's something that acharis davar is better than the rachis davar. The lokein tanina and matzilan tik hasefer masefer. So what are we talking about? Honestly, I'm not sure. I didn't look up the midrashim inside, but we're covering, we're protecting the cover of the sefer with the book. We're not covering. Upshot is matzilan l'alisha b'schus taraso. Again, I feel bad. I didn't look it up, so I'm not sure the full context. But the upshot again is a repetition of this theme that Torah protects people. More. So we're going to see a lot of Zohars and then some other good stuff I think that come out of the Zohars. But I'm just, what do you think? I was just thinking about this even today when I was looking at this morning. Like, why do you think this is? Like, I'm saying, it's good to see the 10 different makoros. First of all, why do you think it's true? And why do you think Rav Chaim Volozhiner is telling us 10 different makoros to say the same thing? What do you think?
The 10 different makoros was kind of, I think, what is very explainable. Like, oh, it's not just this one isolated thing that, oh, you can maybe it's a da'a yachid.
Right. Or as we might say nowadays, you could contextualize.
Yeah,
right? But no, like, it's everywhere. Don't contextualize it. It's omnipresent.
Right.
It's reinforcing something.
Basically.
It's about kikara vilacha. Could either mean tshuva.
Right, or
Torah.
Right.
I know there's a connection.
But again, but doesn't that beg the question, why should that be?
Right.
That's what I'm asking. Why should Torah... Again, we're not asking the question, just to be clear. I'm not asking why does tshuva help. That's a very important question, but that's not the question. The question is whether you understand this as being a catalyst for tshuva, or even more provocatively, bimkom tshuva, or even without tshuva, there's some potency to Torah.
They probably have very similar goals. I mean, the goal of tshuva is to reconnect yourself.
Okay, oh, good. And that's itself a question, but it's certainly a very... supportable position. And tshuva, you know, I've often pointed out, it doesn't actually mean repentance. It means return. Return to what? So the simplest pshat is to return to Hashem. I think it's Rav Kook and maybe a few others who say it means return to your true self. Although even that is still a play on words, because you return to your true self, which is, your true self is actually close to Hashem. But, so Torah, so to speak, short, it's another way of getting to the same place. Fair enough. Again, what it's missing, I'm just throwing this out there as food for thought. I think it has to be something more or less like what you're saying. I think it has to be. But what is fascinating, especially if you understand this as being a kind of a skula or a zechus that could somehow save you even without particular tshuva, so it's missing charata. And it's missing, again, if it's just a question of Hashem judges us, and you should just know that more than you can possibly realize, every daf gemara, every pasuk, every mishnah has so much like superpower. As I said, it's on steroids. So, you know, don't tell this to the kids, but like a lot of sins are going to get overwhelmed by this huge wave called your schus of Torah. Okay, if that's the case, then you don't need tshuva, because it didn't get to the point where I need to know, okay, now you deserve to be punished, unless you do tshuva to get out of it. Because when Hashem was, you know, when the judge was weighing the things, it turns out that you actually, your scorecard was better than you thought because of your Torah. And then the answer, and then the question would be, well, why is it so good? I think what you said is correct. It has to be because it has the ability to bring you close to Hashem in a way that nothing else can, and that's really the ultimate goal. But if it's something else, just like, you know, like bonus points, I think this is a little bit harder to understand, but I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying, like, it's worth thinking about. Okay, let's see. Again, there's a lot of this will be repetitive, but it's still good to see from different sources, and there will be a few other nuances. So, let's go further, since we have more time. Weiter. Okay. Zohar. We're ready for our first Zohar of the day. In Parshas Yisro, Amar, I don't know, is it Rabbi Yehuda, probably Rabbi Yehuda, I don't really know for sure, but somebody. Rabbi Yitzchak. Okay, Shkoyach. See, I take it back. Not probably Rabbi Yehuda. Amai is Yahev Oraisa Be'esha. Uvachashocha. Right, there are all these midrashim and Kabbalistic sources about the Torah was given, you know, black fire and white fire, and again, don't ask me what exactly that means, but the Zohar asks, why was the Torah given fire and in darkness? The Choman di Shtadel Ba'oraisa, because to teach us that anyone who is involved in Torah study, Ish Teziv Me'esha Achara Be'gehenim, will be saved from a different fire. You know, the fire of this Torah, is going to protect you, or, so to speak, burn out before you have to be singed by it, the other fire of Gehenim. Mechashocha de mechashon koshar am in Yisrael. And you'll also be saved from the Gehenim of kind of, you know, the darkness, so to speak. Everyone else is walking in darkness, and if you have Torah, you are protected and saved from that. So I like that. That's very, you know, the symmetry of that is, I think, very powerful. That the ways that the Torah was given, even the extra stuff, the pyrotechnics, if you will, the show of it all, and sometimes, I think there are a lot of people, but you know, maybe this yeshiva in particular, very not sensitive to the show of, like, the mile of the show. Like, we're so focused on, like, you know, the substance of something, that, like, we're not really worried about the image. Now, if I had to pick between being just involved in image, just involved in substance, I'm 100 times out of 100 going to be with the substance. But sometimes, lots of people, I would say sometimes including this yeshiva, we don't always appreciate the effectiveness of, you know, making a little bit of a show, you know, about things, you know, and having a little bit more shtick about, like, or Shiva sitting up front or facing, you know, whatever, just all sorts of stuff, the way people dress, again, because we care about the substance. Again, I do care about the substance. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm just pointing out, not to get on that sidetrack, maybe that was my fault, I shouldn't even have brought it up, but here you have the Zohar being sensitive to the glitz of Maamon Har Sinai, right? Maamon Har Sinai wasn't just substance. It was a show. It was like the best show ever, with thunder and lightning and the whole thing. Now, the answer, now you could, I'm assuming that there was also a certain benefit to the people at the time. But what the Zohar is saying is something much deeper than I was even alluding to, which is just that it's a way of foreshadowing or hinting to us the potency of Torah itself. Which is, by the way, again, since I brought it up, I'll just allow myself to close the loop. To me, the cause of Ashlishi, of when focusing on certain externals would be legitimate, and when it wouldn't be, is if it's only for the show and the glitz, then I would say it's not. But if you can honestly feel like it's going to enhance people's appreciation of the substance, then I think, you know, it's certainly worth thinking about. And that's in essence what the Zohar is saying. By the Torah adding all this thunder and lightning and the darkness and the blue, you know, that stuff, it is a way of teaching you something about the Torah that you wouldn't otherwise have known. Interesting. Okay. Next paragraph. another aspect of the Zohar, the Raya Mehimna. Again, I do not know enough Zohar or to know what the difference between the different parts are, but I do believe this is a part or a section of the Zohar, the Raya Himna, in Parshas Truma, who says, Pekuda Lomo Torah B'chol Yoma. There's a mitzvah to learn Torah every day. Diuroza Dehemnusa Ila. Because it is like the sod of the highest kind of emunas. Leminda arche de kucha brichu. We learn about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? This is like, as some of you have heard me say, like the mind map kavyachol, or the diary kavyachol of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's letting us into his mind, right? Leminda arche de kucha brichu. The command de shtalabo, right? Anyone who learns Torah, zachi b'hayamo v'zachi b'amadasi. And that's, of course, why he's quoting this, is that line, because you're going to be benefited not only in this world, but the next. V'shtaziv, you'll be protected, mikol kitriginu bishin, all the bad stuff that could happen after you die, Hashem will protect you. Begin the raisa, raza de hamnusihi, because you have this sod of the emuna that the Torah gives you. It's kind of like a force shield, a protective, uniform or costume. Tamandi yisasek ba yisasek behemnusa ila. Anyone who's involved in Torah is involved in the highest form of emuna. And therefore, as a result, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ashrei shchinta begavei. Hashem is mashra. He rests his shchina on that person. Dolo ta'adi minein. We'll never remove it. Right now, I'll sign up for that. I can't understand. I don't know what the Raya Mehusa is. I don't really understand what the Zohar is saying. But yeah, I would like Hashem's Shechina to rest on me, and I would like to feel like I really get to know Hashem. Sign me up. Okay, now we take a break from the Zohar for a moment to get back to the Gemara. It says the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos on the pasuk of Orech Yamin B'Yimina. So what's that? A play on words? Le'maiminim. Going to act with a right hand in a strong way. Ba, in Torah, then they're going to get Orech Yamin. V'chol Shekein and on the Orech Yamin. Osher v'chavod hu b'shnei olamim. You're going to get rewarded in both worlds. Osher v'chavod olam hazeh, v'orach yamim olam haba. Shikra orach yamim hakavana olam shekula orach, i.e. olam haba. As it says in Chazal, b'kama duchtei, b'zohar, etc. Now, the first half of that is, of course, what we did in the previous two prakim. Again, we had a caveat, we had an asterisk, like we don't always see this. You know, it would be true that if every guy who just learned Torah l'shma, had all the money he needed and everyone was in good health. So, the only thing we could say without trying to throw every person who looks like a tzaddik but yet is struggling under the bus, to assume that there must be some deep dark skeletons in his closet, which I don't think is a way to look at the world, chas v'shalom, but is to point out that no one's perfect, and Rechav Lozner did throw this very high bar of learning Torah l'shma, and I think I remember I mentioned last week it's parallel to what Rav Lichtenstein did in his discussion about the Rambam of Shevet Levi. I know anyone could be part of the honorary Shevet Levi, right? But it's so people say, oh yeah, I'm in Kol, I'm in Shevet Levi. Really? Do you see what the Rambam said? Very high level. I'm not saying, in other words, Rav Lichtenstein saying that a person couldn't be that. But it's not just a guy who happens to be in Kola for the year, or even for 10 years. I mean, someone who's totally mukka from Olam Hazeh. Even if you think that's the right or the wrong, if you think it's the right or the wrong thing, just a metzias, are you really mukka from Olam Hazeh? How many people are really that? So here also, we said last week, all these promises for reward in this world, Rechav Lozner did have a line, I forget the exact quote, but he did have a line in the last parak that made it clear he was talking about not someone who just learned, but someone who learned Lashma at this highest level. So does that mean anytime you see someone who learns, who does not have the perfect life, it must be that there's something wrong with them? I mean, it means that they're human, so they're probably not perfect. I guess that's what it means. It's a very high bar. So that point of it, Torah helping in this world, he's yet repeating again, or the Gemara itself was repeating. The reason he quoted it in Perek Yud Zayin is because of the part about Olam Haba. I'm just pointing out, he does yet again, here's another source for the idea of Torah helping in this world. Next, Vesham Parshas Chai, we go back to the Zohar. Gal einai va'abita neflos mitorah secha. Right, the pasuk says, "Open my eyes, and I'll be able to see the neflos of your Torah." Kam inun b'nei nasha tipshin. How foolish are people? Till yavdin v'lo mistaknel ishtad l'baraisa. They don't pay attention. They open their eyes to learn Torah. Begin to arise a kol chayin. Right, they should be learning Torah their whole life. The Torah is all of life. I should say the Torah is all of life. Where I lost the place. Sorry. V'chol cheru. It's all cherus. V'chol tov. It's all good. V'amodein v'amodasi. Right. The Torah is everything good. So how foolish. It's like every child's book or every whatever you ever read that promised some magic potion or the beans or whatever it is that ever it's right there. Why would you take it? That would be tipshin. Okay. Ihu cheru d'amod and amodasi dihi. It's the freedom of the next world, cheiros in this world and the next. It's life chayin in the next world and this. The yizkun liyomen shleimin b'hayama. You'll have again a very good life in this world, asterisk yet inserted, and also more importantly for our purposes, liyomen arichin b'alma dasi in the next world. Begin the iyun chayin shleimin. You'll have a full and long and very very healthy life. Skip a little bit, like a half a line or a line. The kol man ishtada borais. Anyone who studies Torah says Azar, lo yachalin l'shalta ilui kol amin da'alma. Right? No one else, no other nations, no one able to hurt you if you study Torah. Okay? And then he says right at the end there, Chayru ba'alma d'asi begindel yit'abun minei dina ba'hu alma. You have freedom, so to speak, from everything. In the olam hazeh, you won't have the shibud of the umas olam, and you have chayru olam haba, in the sense that Hashem won't, you know, be looking to punish you in olam haba. Okay, well, a lot more to go still. Wow, this is really big. Okay, let's skip the next paragraph, or the next Tanna Be'elyo. Let's go to a line in the next Zohar, which I thought was powerful. So he's commenting on the pasuk in Tehillim, Taras Hashem Temima. Kam islahun libnei nasha deishtad labaraisa. Right? How amazing it is for people who study Torah. Kam on deishtad labaraisa. Lavele chayim ba'alma deim ba'alma da'asi. Okay, you have life in this world and the next. Again, a lot of repetition. Vazachi betrin alman. You get both worlds. Now he says, Vafilu man deishtad labaraisa. Velo ishtad labalashma katikikayos. Okay, now here, this is now we're breaking new ground. Someone who did learn Torah, but they didn't learn Torah l'shma the way they should have. Zachi la'agar tav ba'alma dein. Velo dan in lei bahu alma. Wow, that's a tremendous chiddush. Even though a person didn't really learn Torah in the total way that they should have in this world, nevertheless, they could still be get a certain amount of reward in this world or the next. Very, very powerful. So again, maybe not the full thing, but definitely something. Or he says here a few lines later, come on, v'yishtadol ba'araisa l'shma, kad nafik mehay alma, when he eventually leaves this world, araisa azla kameh, his Torah will come before him, and it will protect him and present him, etc. We saw that, I think, in the previous chapter, right? Very beautiful and powerful imagery. The letters of the Torah you learn, so to speak, coming to welcome you when you come into Olam Haba. Very, very powerful. Very, very powerful imagery. Okay, let's skip to where, I don't know, where it says Per Chelek, the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Do you see that? Just so we can finish up. We have only 4 minutes left. See if we can finish. Okay, you see where it says Sanhedrin? V'chein Amru Zal Beperek Chelek in Sanhedrin Daf Tzadi Tes. On the Pasuk initially, Nefesh Amel Amal Alo. Right, if a Nefesh will work hard, then somehow the hard work will be for him. Says like a riddle. It says the Gemara, "Hu amel b'mokom zeh." No, it's referring to first half of the pasuk means you worked hard in this world. You were a masmid. Torah omel eslo b'mokom acher, and then the Torah will work for you, right? You work for the Torah, and the Torah will work for you. I think once upon a time there was like a commercial, maybe when I was a kid. I don't know, it was like for like join the U.S. Army or ROTC or something like that. You do the work for us, and then eventually we'll work for you. We'll help you, you know, in the future. So that's what the Gemara says. The pasuk is referring to a Torah. Furthermore, in Mishlei Rabasa, it says, Chachmas Nashim Bansa Beisa, Kol Misha Kana Lo Chachma Lo Mazeh, Yemuftach Shi Bansa Lo Bais Lo Mabah. That's a reference. Chachmas Nashim here evidently is a reference to Torah. If you work out in this world, it will build you a house in the ever after, in the future.
It's just the
Ouch. Viveles Biadeha Tarasana. And if you're foolish with it, then somehow your house will get destroyed. Kol Misha Lo Kana Lo Chachma. If you don't acquire the Chachma in this world, Yemuftach Shi Kana Lo Gehenem Lo Salavo. Right? So it's all or nothing. So to speak, a zero-sum game. Okay, in whatever little time we have left, let's skip. There's one last thing I want to see, which is the Tanchuma. Okay? If you have my version of Mefesh HaChaim, it's on the last page. Amud Reish Mem Ches. If you have the book, if you have a handout, you see there it says, you see where it says Tanchuma Parshas Ekev? Right, so of course, it talks about the Torah was Charos Aluchos, was engraved on Aluchos. Famous Chazal. Don't say Charos, El Cheros. Freedom. She'evacha ben Choron, El Mish Osek, Batama Torah. So this is, what does that mean? So usually, what do we mean? And I'm not saying it's a contradiction. We mean, you know, usually a person is going to be a slave to his taivas, his impulses. If you have Torah, you build yourself discipline, self-control. But this Maimer Chazal is slightly different. It's talking about the freedom, again, freedom in the next world. You'll be saved from who knows bad things like the Malachamavis. As it says in the Gemara, Ma'amakos, Divrei Torah, Kolten, Malachamavis, right? You will be given refuge and protected from the Malachamavis. Zohar Parshas Vayechi, Cheres Ba'almadein, Cherub, you'll be saved from everything. Cher de Malach HaMavis, free from the Malach HaMavis. The Malach HaMavis can't touch you. Aloi v'hayachi hu vadai, the adam whom istabik b'ilana d'chai. If you are holding on to the Eitz Chaim, the tree of life, the horizon which is Torah, lo gare mosa le l'cha'ama. You'll never die. And that's, of course, the Chazal about David HaMelech, right? The Malach HaMavis couldn't get to him because he was studying Torah. And again, he continues. He basically says all these other things. Like, just we'll read the last line of the thing. Aldak kaman deshtad lebarais. Anyone who studies Torah lo yochel l'shalte aloi hu chavi bishad achshich ba'amam. He was involved in Torah, so the nachash, if you will, that primordial snake, will never be able to touch him. Will never be able, so to speak, to hurt him. So again, here again, the theme which we've seen already for a few parakim of the incredible reward of Talmud Torah. So again, more and more and more of the same. But I think the chiddush we had seen previously, and frankly, I think this is an easier parak to understand than the other parakim. Is it's talking about Olam Haba. There's a tremendous, tremendous power and potency to the schus of Torah. You know, all mitzvahs are important, but not all mitzvahs are created equal. And Chaim Blushner is clearly giving us ample makoros. So again, you could pick any one of 20 that in, you know, emphasize how powerful and much of a skula Torah is in the next world. Okay, Yeshika.